Blog Talk Radio.
Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Friday, December the 3rd. As we like to do on Fridays, we'll be checking with our friend George Rodriguez down in South Texas. We're going to be looking at some Texas politics issues, the talk of a new legislative session. I think that would be a record. I don't remember that many in any one year in the time that I've lived here. There's also obviously, an abortion case before the Supreme Court, some interesting reaction to that. We'll talk a little bit about Texas elections in 2022. Clearly, the candidates are lining up. There's going to be, a primary on the Republican side for governor. There's going to be a primary on the Democrat side for governor. You're not hearing much about the Democrat primary, but you may. You may as time gets a little closer to the actual date. And then we'll talk a little bit about Remain in Mexico. Remain in Mexico will be back we'll be back next week, or so we hear from the Biden administration. Let me say hello to my friend George. How are you, George?
Wonderful. It's beautiful down here. It's kind of warm even.
Wow. Yeah, that is interesting. We were like at 72, 73. Here in the Dallas area in the afternoon. It was raining a little bit, so that made it, that made it a little chilly, but not anything. I still had I was in the car, and I had the air running, but, when it's 72 and the air is running and it's raining, the car gets cool real fast. Haven't you noticed that, George?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, the car can get cool real fast. Before we get to all these Texas topics, I want to bring up a national topic, George, that is really, I think, quite embarrassing that we're watching this in the United States, and that is all this shoplifting that we're seeing, all of these groups of, young people, for lack of a better description, who are breaking into all these expensive stores and stealing, right there for everybody to see. It is outrageous. It is embarrassing. It's happening in cities run by the Democrat Party, George. But I think that this is what happens when you have a breakdown in the rule of law, when you have lawlessness, as we have seen here for the last year. This is what happens. These cities have actually become dangerous, George.
I agree. We have for so long over the past few months in reaction to this George Floyd and Breonna Taylor situation, Black Lives Matter has just pushed it to the brink where, in my opinion, we excuse not only crime but bad behavior in general. We excuse it on the base of race and income. And we can't afford to do that. I mean, if somebody misbehaves, if somebody commits a crime, they should be punished for it. And it just seems right now that's just not happening, that they're avoiding that.
Yeah. No, and I think it's fascinating because they go into these very expensive stores. I mean, if they were breaking into the Walmart produce department,
right,
and stealing
food.
Milk and,
yes.
and food, you could say, well, okay, they're hungry. How can we help you? Maybe we'll connect you with a church in one of their pantries. So it would be an entirely different attitude, I think, if they were like starving and needed food. But we know that's not the case. What they're stealing is, watches and expensive
jewelry.
And what they're doing with this is a mystery. I guess I've heard, George, maybe you've heard the same, that what they're doing is they're stealing it and then they're reselling it. I guess it's a big game, George.
It is. I mean, it is. This is not Robin Hood, the poor taking from the rich and giving to the poor. This is theft. This is right out straight theft. And you know, we have got to do something to stop it, to curtail it, because it's become a pandemic. I mean, an epidemic.
That's it.
It has become an absolute epidemic.
And it's turning cities into something I cannot repeat on the air. But I think you know what I'm about to say, and it's just these cities, the once elegant city of San Francisco is now a mess. The once, you know, very wonderful city of Chicago, it's now a mess. New York City, no, it's the same. There are cities like Baltimore that are just completely dead. I mean, there's nothing going on there. And this is all happening because of this very lackadaisical approach to crime. And I just heard something, George, that the city of Philadelphia has more homicides this year already than last year. And we have 3 or 4 weeks to go.
Look at the situation in Wisconsin.
Oh,
the guy that ran over all those people in the parade had an extensive criminal record and had been in custody, but they lowered the bail because he was a person of color.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is just really, really unconscionable how we have excused and rewarded crime and bad behavior only because of race and income. I mean, we can't do that. I'm sorry.
No, you can't. You just cannot excuse this kind of behavior. If a family doesn't have any money or they don't have any food, and maybe that could be the case. I mean, I understand that, you know, we have a pantry at our church, and we're seeing a lot of people coming by needing help, and you could tell that these are good people who just, you know, because of the pandemic or whatever, have hit a hard time, and I understand that, and we're helping people directly at our church. So I don't have any problem with people have a need and see how we can help them. But that's not what this is. I mean, this is just lawlessness and a tolerance on the part of these big city Democrats. They're killing their cities, George. I'll just finish by saying that. They're killing their cities. They're losing taxpayers. They're losing businesses. Who in the world is going to start a business in a city like Baltimore, George?
That's exactly right. We have a viral situation here in San Antonio, a viral video of a young black man, running into a store and grabbing several cell phones and running off. And I mean, you know, it's just creating a great deal of discussion about how much do we tolerate this type of behavior. I mean, again, like you said earlier, this is not, they are not grabbing food. They are not grabbing bread.
Right.
They're grabbing cell phones.
Right. And they're apparently just reselling them. They
steal
them and then they resell them and then they go back for more. I mean, it's a total travesty. It's really embarrassing to think that something like this is happening in the United States. And it's all the consequence of, again, of weak leadership. You know, many of these cities, they tolerate it, and this is what they're getting.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Texas, George. There's some talk that there may be another legislative session. I guess they want to do a couple more things. They want to do mandates. I'm not sure what else they want to do. I heard mandates. Well, what have you heard about that, and how do you feel about another session, George?
Well, yes. I mean, there is a lot of discussion among certain conservatives pushing for a second, third, fourth a session. I'm not sure which it is.
Yeah, if this was a baseball game, we'd be in the fifth inning. And there'd
right.
be more. I mean, there's a lot of sessions. Of course, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, George, but in all fairness, some of the sessions never got off the ground because we had people flying to Washington, or some of them were flying to Portugal to get married. So
yeah.
we didn't have a chance to I mean, these sessions could have ended back in July or August, as you remember.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And, you know, I mean, a lot of folks feel that that their particular issue, a lot of conservatives feel that their particular issue was never addressed, and it needs to be addressed, and therefore they're pushing very stringently, very strongly, they're pushing for a second, third or fourth, whichever it is, session. And unfortunately, I'm not sure that, you know, a new session will accomplish what the others haven't.
Right.
But we shall see if it, you know, I'm not sure that the governor will go for it. I really don't.
Well, I mean, I think people, I think most voters have had it with sessions. You know, the idea that of these sessions was 140 days every 2 years, and that's it.
Right.
I mean, they're not supposed to be in session. And I also think a lot of the legislators, look, most of these guys have businesses to run, and they have their own lives. And I think, you know, keep returning to Austin is not in the job description, George. I mean, some of these guys, I mean, they're small businesses, they're lawyers, they have their own expenses, if you know what I mean. And I don't think a lot of them want to do it. But I thought the reason, George, that I thought it might happen, because it may be a way for the governor to deflect some of the attacks that he's getting from the right. I mean, remember, that the governor's problem right now is to the right, Mr. Huffines and Mr. West. And I don't know about down there, but Mr. Huffines is all over the media up here.
Yeah.
I mean, he is spending a ton of money that, of course, he has that money. I don't see that much from Alan West, but I see a lot from Mr. Huffines. And, in fact, if you drive down the tollway going east-west, you see a ton of his signs. On the tollway, George.
Yeah, we're beginning to see a lot more signs of Huffines, and I haven't seen that many from West. But I think you're right. I think, you know, the effort by the governor to have another session would be to deflect it. But again, I'm not sure that it would accomplish anything. I think it might just stir up more people.
Right.
It might create more animosity, might create more questions, more problems. Nevertheless, it would deflect a lot of attention from what.
Yeah, because what he would do is put on the table those topics that Huffines and West are talking about.
Uh-huh.
Like, but I thought I was going to say, the critical race theory. But I was under the impression that that was already done in the previous session, George.
That's right. That's right. I thought so, too.
So I don't know why that would have to be in another session. Now, mandates, I've heard that they want to, I guess they want to go beyond what the governor has done and, I guess, turn it into a statute so that
right.
it's more clear about these mandates.
And, again, I think that that's you know, something that would be pushed, but I'm not sure that it would be accomplished.
Right.
And so, therefore, you know, it might be something that the governor could just say, well, you know, I tried. And that would certainly help him, but at the same time, it might be something that could go ahead and pass, and that would certainly help him. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure that, you know, if it's a no-win situation or a win-win situation
right,
for him.
Right, exactly. I feel the same way. I feel the same way. Let me ask you, before we take a break, the governor's situation. Do you feel that the governor is going to get out of the primary in the first round? Because I do. I do. But I'm anxious to hear what you're saying.
I think he might, but at the same time, there is a real groundswell along the border of people that are very, very vocal and upset that he hasn't done, as they say, enough.
Mm-hmm.
And he may end up opposition to him may coalesce around Hoffines.
Right.
I think if there's any one candidate that people can unite behind, and I really do believe it will be Hoffines.
Right.
And he might push him into a
a runoff.
Runoff.
Yeah, because the governor would have to get, I guess, just a majority, right, in the first round.
Right. Yeah.
To avoid it, I still think that he will, but you know, there's still plenty of time, and I'm seeing a lot of commercials from Mr. Hoffines up here. I don't hear anything from West, but I'm hearing a lot from Mr. Hoffines. I mean, he's everywhere. And
yeah,
sadly,
I think the situation with Mr. West goes back to the situation of with his wife and that all that questionable activity that happened not too long ago. But Hoffines certainly seems to have gathered a lot of momentum down here.
He has, and he's got a lot of money to finance that momentum, and that's extremely important to get yourself on radio and TV in a state like Texas. We're going to take a little break, George. When we come back, we'll talk about abortion, and we'll talk a little bit about Texas, and we'll talk about Remain in Mexico with our friend George Rodriguez. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, with our friend George Rodriguez talking Texas politics, something we enjoy doing a great deal with our friend from San Antonio. Well, George, there was a little action last week before the Supreme Court. Both sides got to present their arguments. The court is looking at the Mississippi case, which is 15 weeks. It's different than the Texas case. It's 15 weeks, no abortions after that. And judging from the questions, you know, a lot of people were saying, judging from the questions or the discussions, that it looks like the court is ready to, at the very least, give states the right to regulate abortion. That's how I look at it, George. How do you react to it?
Well, again, how I have always read and understood the Constitution is that it is a document which organizes states, and it gives states rights that the federal government doesn't have or doesn't need, or that the states don't give the federal government. Now, in that aspect of it, things like forcing a mandate for vaccinations, the federal government forcing the states to, or forcing businesses in states to do vaccinations. Well, again, the states have the right to protect their own citizens, whether it be from a sickness or from economic problems or whatever. The Biden administration doesn't seem to understand that. They seem to want to protect and push their will on everybody. And that includes this whole idea that that abortions are a right granted and protected by the federal government. I don't know where that came from.
Right.
I really don't know where that came from, and I don't see how that can be argued and won.
Right.
I really don't.
Well, that's it, and I think the way that the left and many people are reacting to what's happening, I get the impression they think that Roe v. Wade is going down.
Yeah, I do. I really do.
Just from their reaction.
It's not that, I mean, they're going to spin it. I can see it already. They're going to spin it that what the Supreme Court has done is abolished abortions.
Right.
It's not abolishing abortions. It's saying that the states have the right to regulate it. And that means that if the state of New York wants to keep unfettered, unstoppable, and unregulated abortions, they can do that.
Exactly.
But it also means that the state of Texas, the state of Louisiana, and the state of Mississippi can regulate it.
That's
and they
right.
can say that you can't have an abortion beyond the time of a heartbeat being detected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that would be the case of Texas, or 15 weeks in the case of Mississippi, and other states probably will have their own standard. But I think you're right. I think the Constitution clearly gave that power to the states. And to me, the biggest mistake of Roe v. Wade was assuming or creating a right to an abortion. I mean, they created that out of nothing. And then since then, I think a lot of politicians were just afraid of confronting Roe v. Wade. But I think, I'm not sure it's going to go officially down. In other words, I don't think they're going to write an opinion saying we overturned Roe v. Wade. But I think by simply granting the states the authority to regulate abortion, whether it's Mississippi or whether it's Texas, I think that effectively eliminates Roe v. Wade, George.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. I think that shows that Roe v. Wade again was an act of a president, an executive opinion. It was not a law.
Right.
And that's going to be, again, that's going to be a setback for the left. It's going to be, I think they're going to have a meltdown of it. And I certainly believe, because I can see it already, that they're going to misrepresent it.
Oh, sure, sure. I think they're going to say, like you indicated, they're going to say that women are going to have to go to Mexico for abortions. Not really. They can go to Mississippi and in the first 15 weeks get an abortion if that law is held up, or they can go to other places. But before Roe v. Wade, George, I mean, we may not remember this because that was back in the early 70s, late 60s, but there were states, there were cities. I think New York City had a very liberal abortion policy. I don't know about California, because California has changed a lot. I think it was a lot more conservative back then. I mean, we forget that those were the times when California was electing Ronald Reagan. So it was a lot more conservative back then than it is now. But clearly New York City always had a more liberal approach. But the way I look at it, I think the way you said it was beautiful, and that is that if the people of New York want to have their own Roe v. Wade, let them do it. If the people of California want to have their own Roe v. Wade, let them do it. But if the people of Texas want to say a heartbeat, let us do it, or Mississippi 15 weeks or whatever. What's interesting, George, is that even with the 15 weeks, that still puts the United States, honestly, on the more liberal side of abortion. In most countries, it's 12 weeks, George.
Yeah, that's right. But again, to hear the left and to hear the liberals describe it, you would think that we're going to abolish it completely.
Right.
And that it's a religious issue, again. That it's completely a religious issue. Well, yeah, you know, I'm sorry. There are some religions that support abortions.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, and I've always told my friends this, when I've debated abortion, I said, it's really not about abortion. It's as to who gets to regulate abortion.
That's
okay.
Right.
And that's always been my argument, that the federal government has no business regulating abortion. It's the same argument that I had with same-sex marriage. Marriage is a state thing, not a federal thing. So,
that's right. And yeah. again, there are religions, there are ways that there are people who can be married. There are religions that will marry same-sex folks. Now, why do you put yourself, your onus, upon those that don't believe it? That is the height of tyranny.
Right. That's right. No, you're right. I think that it's a state issue, and let the states deal with marriage and with abortion, and I think that's the best way to get along. The Founding Fathers, that 10th Amendment, they knew what they were doing. And they put they put that in there because they understood that there were going to be regional differences, and they wanted the, you know, the regions to have their own way of doing things. Well, I got a couple of more topics I want to get into, but before I do, I don't know. But I don't know if I already mentioned this or not. Maybe I did, but I'm going to repeat it just in case. I think what gave me the idea, maybe I mentioned this already, but what gave me the idea that the court was more inclined to support a state's right, you know, a state's right to regulate abortion, was the Texas law, because it went up there two times and it came back okay. So when I saw that, I said, this court is looking at abortion differently. And that's why I'm optimistic about the opinion that I guess we'll get next spring, George.
Well, and it's going to be very, very interesting because the person that's looking at the abortion issue in a very, very traditional constitutional manner is Justice, the black gentleman.
Thomas. I think Thomas is going to be the leader. He's going to write the opinion, I think.
Yep. And he views it very, very much in a traditional manner. So,
Views it as a constitutional manner.
They're going to say that he hates women again.
That's right. That he's against women's health care. And whatever. Yeah, I know. They're in a real meltdown. I tell you, these people are really melting down. If anybody wants to get a definition of meltdown, just watch MSNBC. Man, it is unbelievable. Well, a couple of other topics I wanted to get to, George. The elections of 2022 here in Texas, we were talking before about the governor has a primary challenge. So does Beto O'Rourke. He has a primary challenge, but I'm not hearing much about it. And I don't know if it's because the media doesn't want to talk about it, or because the opponent doesn't have any money, or because nobody cares about Beto anyway. I mean, I don't know what the reason is, but we're not hearing that much about Beto up here.
Well, you know, we're hearing a little bit about him down here because courtesy of the of Joaquin and Julian, who themselves are trying to stay relevant. I think the media definitely is trying to give him some good publicity. I think definitely we know that the liberal leftist wing of the Democratic Party really, really is trying to push him in some form or fashion. But I also hear from some of the more stringent supporters of the Democratic Party here in South Texas that they really they believe it's a waste of time to support him.
Right. Well, I mean, with what you're seeing down there on the border with all the, you know, the craziness going on the border, the border is a very serious problem for Beto because he became so associated with open borders and gun control and stuff like that, and I just don't think that flies in South Texas.
Not at all.
So I think he's going to have an uphill battle down there. But it would be interesting to see what happens with the challenger, because if the challenger is from the woke, you know, group, let's say the woke angle of the Democrat Party, those people can energize and they can get organized.
Yep, they do.
And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, she gives him a little bit of a fight and forces him to debate and forces him to talk about issues he'd rather not talk about, George.
I agree. I think he definitely knows that he's got to appeal to the more conservative nature of particularly South Texas Hispanics, but this situation of the woke people coming along and pushing them. I mean, Congressman Cuellar, a 10-year, or maybe it's longer than that, maybe 12-year incumbent Democrat here from Laredo, he's being pushed extremely by a leftist lady who is supported by Ocasio-Cortez.
Well, that could be the same group that is opposing Beto. I don't know. But we'll see down the road. One more point that I wanted to get into, George, is this remain in Mexico policy.
Ah, yes.
It goes into effect, I guess, next week. It is not something the Biden administration wanted to do, but they're being forced to do it by the courts. And there are, you know, there are more caravans going to the border. So what are you hearing? I mean, are these people in the caravans going to be told you got to go back to Mexico? That's going to be interesting to watch, George.
Well, there was a report today that Haitians and Venezuelans and others that have been living along the border on the Mexican side, many have started to leave. Many have started to leave, and it's a situation where if people would understand that the best enforcement is to have tough enforcement, that is the biggest deterrent. I mean, people, if they know that they're going to be deported, they stop coming. They stop coming. They stop crossing. Now, they're still crossing in huge numbers illegally through the bushes, but they are no longer walking across the border and surrendering,
right.
Walking across the border and telling the Border Patrol, we're here, we want to surrender. That's not happening anymore.
Right.
That is not happening anymore.
Well, those would be the people seeking asylum, right? Whereas the people who are just sneaking in or coming in the old-fashioned way, if I could put it that way.
And those people, you know, if they get caught, they get immediately deported.
Right, exactly.
So it is it's starting to slow down, although it's still happening, it's starting to slow down. How long it lasts, that's my question. I don't know, because the pressure on the Biden administration from the far left, from the open borders people, is tremendous.
Right, but the other issue, too, is that many of these people are already here, and they're going to have to be taken care of while they wait for their cases. That's
right.
The insanity of letting them in while their cases are pending, because they cannot work. They're not. I mean, they don't have work visas. They're going to have to work illegally, but many of the businesses where they would work, restaurants, cleaning homes or cleaning hotels or whatever, those businesses are not, they're not as many restaurants or as many places. So it's just like, it's a real mess. It's a real mess. That's all I can say. But if it is slowing down, then that might be a good sign. I know that on the Texas border, there are some trailers, right, who are sort of building a wall that are going to make it very difficult for people to get through.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And, those trailers they have been there for a while.
Yeah.
And for almost a month. And the deterrent seems to be working.
Well, it always does. Like you said before, deterrence has a funny way of working when people actually try it. Which is what we're doing right now. Well, George, another week here, and our time just absolutely flies. But that's why we do this. I guess we'll have to save a few. We'll have to save a few topics for the next week. But I do want to thank you as always for your time and your participation with us. And we'll keep an eye. I'm really interested. I'll just say one last thing. I'm really interested in what happens with Beto and his challenger. I mean, I think Beto is going to win, but I think she may turn out to be a bigger challenge than I think he realizes, George.
Well, yeah, I think, what he wants to do is try to run or appear to be as centrist as possible, and that's
right.
Going to be impossible with somebody who's, an avowed socialist.
Well, I think, it's all the stuff he said when he ran for president that is really going to kill him, I think, because when he ran for senator, he didn't go quite as far to the left as when he ran for president. And
right.
I think it's all those videos of him saying all those things when he ran for president that are really going to – we're going to get – it's going to be like Beto reruns of all these things that he said when he was running for president, you know, like, I'm going to take your AR-15 away and all that kind of stuff. Well, just doesn't fly. That stuff just doesn't fly here in our lovely state of Texas. George, thanks for your time. Have a great weekend. Enjoy that wonderful weather down there. And, my God, the Cowboys won. Hey.
That was fun to watch,
yeah, especially that last quarter. Thank you, George. Have a great weekend, and thank you again, as always.
You got it. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Our good friend, George Rodriguez from San Antonio, always enjoy touching base with him and hearing a little bit about what's happening in Texas politics. It's going to get very interesting. It's going to get very interesting now that the primaries are coming up, in March. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.